Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
So glad to be with you again. Once again, the Lord has given us another day, and we're closer to the time when the Lord Jesus comes back and he rules over this planet, and there'll be a time of peace like the world's never seen before, and it'll be like a paradise on earth. But meanwhile, we have this program to uphold and honor the Word of God. And we believe we have it. The Bible says the Word of God is nigh thee, even in thy heart, in thy mouth. We don't have to dig it up. We don't have to go to a cave. It's in our heart and in our mouth. So we have the Word of God. And Jesus said, he has given us the words that thou hast given me. He says, I pray not for the world, but for them that thou hast given me out of the world. It was more than just the apostles. It was all of us. And so today Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and a stranger will they not follow. And they have heard the voice in the authorized King James Bible. We call it the King Jesus Bible. And up to 5 billion copies are out there. And it says, the stranger will they not follow. The other translations that come out, not even from the right text. They just last a little while and then they disappear. But this one goes on generation from generation. And we have today a new group that's out there. It's a revival of group that they call Deist. They were active during the American Revolution, and they're active today when it comes to the Bible. They talk about the original autographs, which they don't have, and they say that God gave them, but we don't have it today. Well, everywhere in the Bible, God says we have it today. It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, light unto my path. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. It's something we have today, and we thank the Lord for that. And that's what this program is all about. God has given us his word, and he has told us where it is, because every scripture verse that deals with the Word of God points to the King James Bible as the perfect Word of God. James says we can look at the perfect word. We can look at the law of God, which is perfect. And so we have it today, and God has given it to us. And that's why we have this program. God raised this program up to honor and glorify his word. God says, I will honor my word above all my name. And so he has done that. And we've had presidents, we've had kings, we've had people, literary figures, college presidents, and so on, that have praised and glorified the word of God. And he says, I've honored above all my name. We know that George Washington, he wasn't a deist. You can read his prayers for yourself. He talked about the immaculate blood of Jesus takes away our sins. And he had page after page, because he wrote everything down. And they found 100 volumes, and you can read what he said. And he was a man very close to God. And at his inauguration, as we mentioned before, he bowed at the King James Bible and kissed it. And so he showed his honor and respect for it. But today we're going to make a comparison of Joseph and the Lord Jesus Christ. But before we do that, we have our scientist in residence, Al Davis. And I heard last week that they put advertising in his place. And I just wish that they wanted it, because he always has something good to say.
Well, thank you, Bruce. Good to be with you again. And just wanted to mention, too, before I get into some other things here, people can go online to whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com, and you can find out more information about Bruce and his ministry. You can also listen to some past programming there. There's some other materials that you can watch on whereisgodsword.com. And you can also find some of the materials and reference materials that Bruce references from time to time and recommends. And that's all at whereisgodsword.com. Well, wanted to look at something today. I was reading an article on the human brain. And, you know, it's just, Absolutely phenomenal. They used to think of the brain as just sort of being rather simple, you know, it's still complex, but rather simple overall. But the discoveries about the brain that they're making is just absolutely incredible. They actually have found that a single human brain, now, and think about this, you might not think you're so smart. You might think, oh, you know, I mean, I'm not the smartest cookie around, but the average human brain has more information processing units than all the computers, routers, and internet connections on Earth. Isn't that a phenomenal statement? More than all the computers and routers and internet connections on Earth. We're talking about trillions, and it's just, it's amazing. We used to think that the synapses between brain, you know, the neural cells in the brain were just like sort of like on-off switches, and we found out that they're more like quantum computers than digital computers. One synapse alone can have about 1,000 molecular scale microprocessor units acting in a quantum computing environment. And I won't get into all the quantum computing right now, but that's sort of the next major hurdle in computers is to get into quantum computing, which would make our computers today look like toys when they can start to producing quantum computers. And that's how the human brain can have more information processing units in it than all the computers, routers, and internet connections on Earth. Now, the Bible says in Psalm 139, talking about us, it says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And that's in Psalm 139, verse 14, where he says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. In fact, they're finding that the human brain operates on a multidimensional level. You know, we think of, you know, one, two, three dimensions in that sense, but they're finding that it actually operates on six, seven, or more dimensional levels, and the complexity is absolutely mind-boggling. But along with that, I wanted to mention about how the brain is also unusual in the amount of energy that it takes up. It's only about 2% of the body's mass, but it takes up about 20% or more of the energy that you use. And to put this in perspective, if you had a computer trying to do what the human brain does, it would take a small power plant to power it. And the human brain it would take about 10 megawatts to operate properly to do what our human brain is doing. And our human brain operates on about 10 watts of power. Now think about that. Next time somebody calls you remember you used to say, we don't measure light bulbs in watts as much anymore, but maybe you say you're like a 60 watt light bulb, you know, talking about not being very smart, but your brain operates on about 10 watts of power, less than what it takes to light up a dim light bulb. And that's just amazing when you think about that. And this energy optimization that we have there and this multidimensional functioning of the human brain that we have is so incredible that we're finding out more and more that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. But then here's the other thing. In addition to electrochemical signals being passed through the brain, there's light signals being passed through the brain, photons being channeled through portions of the brain and to help us think and everything. And this brings in something that I wanted to touch on right here. The Bible understands some of these neural pathways that are built up in the brain. When you think things repeatedly, you think a few thoughts, and they're finding this to be true. These neural pathways get built up. These multidimensional structures get built up when you think about things and start acting on things. And that's what causes habits to be formed. And the Bible, of course, tells us that we need to be careful. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into obedience bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We need to be careful in our thinking, what we think about, and how we allow our minds to go. In Proverbs 23, verse number 7, the Bible says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." The thoughts that we develop and allow ourselves to think on, these things are going to affect the very makeup of our brain, these pathways that develop. Paul said in Philippians 4:8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise," here's what he says, "think on these things." This will affect you. If you fill your mind with hateful thoughts, immoral thoughts, pornography, evil, that's what you will become in your mind. Your mind will be wired on the molecular level and develop pathways supporting those thought processes. But Paul said, think on these things, things that are good and honest and just and pure, because the Bible says the things that you think about will affect what you become. And here it is, we're finding this proved as the study of the brain, both neuroscience, psychology, all these things are proving what the Bible said all along.
Thank you. That was very good as usual. And so I want to talk today about Joseph. Now, some years ago, I went to Israel, and when I got there, got off the plane, they wanted to see my passport. They had all about me, what I did, where I came from, and even a picture of me. Well, God, when Jesus came, God gave a passport, and his passport is a lot more complicated than mine because there is 39 books of details about Jesus coming, including Daniel said that it would be 483 years from the order to build the walls of Jerusalem until the Messiah comes, and I'm quoting it, and he would be cut off. He's going to die, but not for himself. Jesus died for our sins, see? And then it says, "The people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary." So every one of those details were fulfilled. Jesus came, he was the Messiah, he died, and then the Romans came and destroyed the city and the temple after Jesus had died on the cross. And, of course, he rose from the dead, as he predicted also, and was predicted by King David, who was a prophet. Now, with the Old Testament, it talks about Jesus in so many different ways. Of course, the main way was that when they sinned, they had to bring a lamb and to kill the lamb, and atonement was made. And atonement simply means covering. And the sin was temporarily covered because of the atonement that the Lamb had made. But when Jesus came, the great Jewish prophet John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He not only covered our sin, but he was punished in our place and actually took them away so that we can meet God in great joy without any record that we've ever sinned. That is so wonderful. I mean, what a thrilling, what a tremendous thought that is. And he is the Lamb of God. And during the time of the Great Tribulation that Moses had predicted would come, the Bible keeps mentioning the Lamb, the Lamb, the Lamb. Why? Because he's saying to the world, your sins have potentially been paid for, but just repent and put your faith in him. And that's what Jesus said. He said, preach repentance and remission of sins. That means payment for sin in my name. And you get you go to the supermarket and you get a little paper, it's called a remittance, and it's in black and white that you have paid, and if they catch at the door, you can show that paper. Well, our paper is in black and white in our authorized King James Bible. It says that our sins are forgiven when we repent, we're willing to turn from them and put our faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And then we have eternal life. Now, one of the ways it talks about Jesus is through allegories and through pictures in the Old Testament. And Joseph was a picture of Jesus. Joseph was loved by his father, and his father was married to Rachel, and he was always loved her, but she had died. And so Joseph was born, and he loved Joseph over the other brothers, who many of them were through other women besides Rachel. But he loved Joseph particularly. And because of that, he was envied by his brothers. His father had made him a coat of many colors. And so they saw that his father loved him more than he loved them. And so they began to envy him. And the Bible says envy is as cruel as the grave. In other words, it's a vicious, horrible thing. And most of us, sometime or other, have been envied. You know, if you don't want to be envied or you don't want to have people jealous of you, don't do anything, don't say anything, don't be anything, and nobody will envy you. But he was envied by his brothers, and so was Jesus. He was envied by his brothers, and the Bible says that. And it says, for envy they delivered him. The leaders of Israel saw the crowds that he was drawing and saw the people that were following him, and many Jewish people did follow him, and so they became envious. And many of those Jewish people that were doing that, they were actually traitors to their own people because they were put in position by the Romans, and they were a group called the Sadducees. If you read Jewish history, the Pharisees are looked on as the good guys and the Sadducees as the bad guys, but they controlled the temple in Jerusalem, and they disappeared after the temple was destroyed. Now, he was hated by his brothers, and these Sadducees and many of these people, they hated him because of the people following him because of envy, and people will hate you sometimes because of envy and jealousy because of what you may have and they don't have. But he was hated by his brothers, and they couldn't even talk to him in a civil way. They just avoided him, and in their heart they were in anger and rage at him because he was loved by his fathers. The Bible says about Jesus, when he came, God the Father spoke out of heaven, said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Now, they plotted to kill Joseph also, and they thought, when we get a chance, we're gonna kill this guy. And so the Lord Jesus, when he came, they were always plotting to kill him. But of course, he did not allow it until his time was up. And he said, "No man taketh my life from me." He says, "I have power to lay it down, power to take it up again." That is an incredible statement. And nobody ever lived could say something like that. "Well, I have power to lay it down." They can do that, but they can't take it up when they want. But Jesus was the Son of God, and he had the power to do that. So they were plotting to kill him all the time, and you read this in the Gospels. Then he was sold to the Gentiles, and so Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver also. Joseph was sold for 20 pieces of silver, and Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. You know, before that, the brothers were talking about killing him, and then Reuben spoke up, so they put him down in a pit. These are bad guys, man. I mean, they put him in this pit, and poor old Joseph, he's down there in the pit wondering if he didn't die of starvation. Couldn't get out. And they sat down to eat. He could hear them talking probably up there, and he was probably crying to them, you know, to help him. But they were cruel-hearted. They were up there eating, having a good time, and they left their brother down there in the pit. Well, finally Reuben showed up, and he talked about, well, let's not have his blood on our hands. And so they sold Joseph. And again, we see Jesus was sold also, and he was given to the Roman soldiers who treated him and beat him and mocked him and spit upon him. And Joseph had prophesied his rule. He said, talked about the sheaves bowing down to his sheaf, and then he talked about the sun, moon, and the 11 stars bowing down, and the sun, moon, and the stars bowing down before him. And that made his brothers all the more angry. And Jesus predicted that one day Israel would bow down before him, and that he would rule and reign. And the Bible says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. And so one day the Jews will bow the knee before Jesus Christ. Every human being that has ever lived will bow before him. And so he predicted that. Now, he was a blessing to the Gentiles, and he was sold to Potiphar. And when he was in Potiphar's house, it says God blessed Potiphar, who was a Gentile, because of him. And the Bible says, through him shall all nations be blessed. And certainly all the world has been blessed through Jesus, in that he has been paid for our sins. And by faith in him, we could stand before God without any record that we've ever sinned. And what a blessing that is. But Jesus also brought humanitarianism to the world. Not humanism, but today there's hospitals all over the world where people are helping each other. Even with this flood down Texas. Well, people all over, even other parts of the world, are helping those people. Jesus taught to do this because he was doing it. He gave us the sunshine. He gave us the rain. And the final act of helping us is he was punished in our place. You know, we're not punished by God anymore if we're a Christian. We're never punished by God because Jesus has taken our punishment. So Jesus is a blessing to the whole world. And then Joseph was sold to Potiphar, and then he was accused of raping Potiphar's wife. And so Jesus was slandered also. And everywhere he went, they slandered, and they said he had a demon in him, and they still slander him today. Jesus is God in human flesh. The Bible says God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. The Bible says, feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his blood. And so it was the blood of God that paid for our sins on the cross of Calvary. And today we got some of these, the modern versions, they slander Jesus. They talk about him. They make a sinner out of him. They make call him a liar. And the new ASV, NIV, you know, there's a book by Jack McElrake, which Bible would Jesus use? Every Christian ought to get that book, and you ought to get it and pray over it and then give it out to other people. And it shows where they have slandered Jesus in these modern versions. That's why we have this program, the New American Standard Version, the NIV, and you could go on and on. They have slandered Jesus in there, so he was slandered. But one day Joseph was accused of raping his master's wife. But of course it wasn't true. And he says, I can't. She tried to make out with him. And he says, how could I do this great wickedness before God? And so she wanted to commit adultery. And that's a great sin. So then he was put in prison. But while he was in prison, he was serving. I think many people, you're in situations you don't want to be in. You had no say about it. When you were born, where you're going to be born, you didn't have a say. Even sometimes who you were married, and you're in bad situations. But you know, you could sure still serve and show the glory of God by your love and kindness and serving wherever you're at. And so Joseph served, and he was put in charge of the prison. Now, it seems like time after time, Joseph just had one disaster after another happen to him, one trouble after another. And yet in Genesis 39, where it tells the story, it says God was with him. Just because you're in trouble and just because trouble is following you doesn't mean that God has forsaken you. God was with him when got him out of that pit. God was with him when he was sold into Egypt. God was with him when he was in his master's house. He became a blessing there, and God was with him in prison. And so he was a blessing to the Gentiles. And then Joseph also was an interpreter of dreams. He could tell the future and interpret dreams. And you know, in this world, if you're a child of God, if you're a Christian, you know the future because Jesus knew the future. Jesus knows the future. And we know it. We know why we're here, where we came from, and where we're going. And so we're left in this world to do that and tell people that, tell them the story. That's all you have to do. You don't have to argue with them. Just tell them the story, how God came to the world, died for our sins, and rose from the dead. And that if they repent and put their faith in him, they have eternal life. He became ruler. Joseph became ruler in Egypt. And he was in second in command. And Jesus is going to be ruler over this whole world. And he is going to be second in command under God the Father. And so he is going to rule and reign just like Joseph. Well, Joseph was given a Gentile bride. And Jesus has a Gentile bride. That's the church made up of those believers that have put their faith in him. And so, again, pictured that. And then Joseph disciplined his brothers, and he says, you're spies. And they had to do some serious thinking because a spy could be put to death. And they were thinking about this. And so finally, Joseph revealed himself to his brothers. And Judah gets up there and he says, gives a talk. And then Joseph recognized them and they recognized him. And they wept together on each other's shoulders. And Joseph had taken care of them. And now Joseph meets them And Joseph helps them and saves them alive. Jesus is going to save the Jewish people in Israel.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at the same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.